Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, effective voicemail. Hi, this is Mike, and welcome back to Manager Tools. If you've ever gotten a voicemail which sounded like, "Bob, this is Mike, call me," you know why we're doing this cast. Phone manners have been steadily decreasing for decades. When boys used to call Mark's daughter Kate, they would slouch verbally through, "Is Kate there?" And Mark would answer, "Yes," and then hang up. It's safe to assume that any person who asked that question was a boy, and not enough of a gentleman to be allowed to speak with her. At first she rolled her eyes, but later she liked the hurdle that Mark's demand created. Those boys that never got it ended up being, well, boys. What about at work? The "Bob, this is Joe, call me" is only one example. It ranks right up there with, "Saw that you called, what's up?" Answered with, "Did you listen to my voicemail?" In this cast, we have recommendations for how to leave a voicemail. We think of this as the first cast on phone skills, out of several hundred to come. Here we go. One story I've always loved when you tell, and I just get a kick every time I hear it, which is that story about you playing Kate, gatekeeper for Kate.
I've told that story to a lot of people. And I used to tell it as a dad story, but now, of course, really it's a phone manners story. And I don't even, I mean, we don't have time to go into it, but I'm sitting here thinking that pretty soon that will be you when it comes to Sydney.
I got a few years, so that's okay. Yeah. But so I have time to learn from the master. You can show me what the key moves are there.
Yeah, I think the martial arts thing is not going to do it for you because I think the answer is just for me it was a baseball bat. Your martial arts training only works when it works. You have to actually use it. A baseball bat works just by setting it right next to the front door.
Yeah. How do we get from voicemail to baseball bats?
Mark the tangent man.
Well, okay. So, but on voicemail, though, we are in violent agreement on voicemail usage.
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, I know I'm sure there are people out there that think that all I think is that everything's horrible. I don't. But it is. It's terrible.
It occurs to me that we have the same problem with voicemail as we do with email, really.
But what do you mean? Because like most people would say, no, I don't use voicemail. I use email because I prefer it. But
well, I think it's one of these things where you have this system and you start adding stuff to it without thinking about it. I mean, they were both added to the workplace well after most of our structures and ways of working in organizations were developed. And so here we come into the workplace. We're given these fabulous tools, and then we have no clue how to use them.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. But wait a minute. Voicemail wasn't around when we were kids, but then come to think of it, neither were PCs. The Sony Walkman, which was the original iPod, the Walkman didn't come out till we were in college. But I mean, when I think about the youngest
listeners, folks, for younger folks, we did have a TV, okay?
TVs. Okay, but we didn't have remotes for a long time. That's true. But I think for the youngest listeners of Manager Tools, and we have high school listeners, but this even applies to college and even recent college graduates, they're growing up with voicemail just like we had bicycles. Voicemail's been a part of their lives.
Okay, but that's not my point. I know the young professionals today have had voicemail, but as powerful a tool as it is, no one ever taught them how to use it.
Okay.
The comparison I was making to tools was much more basic, like math and writing and engineering. You have to go to class for those things, but not voicemail or email or conference call or meetings, to say nothing of management.
Ah, I got it. You're totally right. It's just another thing that's been added to the system that makes sense. You want to do it, but they're not teaching it, and so we're left holding the bag, and companies aren't teaching it either, right? And it occurs to me that when we say companies aren't teaching it, we're letting people come into the workplace with habits they learn from their personal lives. Well, I guess that applies to communication and so many other things. It doesn't get taught. And then they bring those skills in. They probably put a gloss on them to keep them from being too obnoxious relative to the workplace. But quite frankly, they're not getting what they should get out of the tool. And the tool may not be used for what they've been using it for. So,
And we know how well it works when folks bring experiences from their personal life into the business world without having thought about it a bit. It works really well.
Exactly.
Okay, so we need to offer some help here. You know, there ought to be a minimum standard that everyone can assume others know and adhere to. I found that some of the best systems are the ones that are really flexible, but only after setting some minimums, some basic entry points and rules.
It's a great point. I think everybody talks about, there's a great debate in the technology world about the cathedral and the
bazaar.
Yeah, the cathedral and the bazaar, the idea of, should we have priests doing this stuff or should we throw it out to the masses and let volume come up with creativity and end up working? But I do think that you're right, that the systems that we most use do have some basic principles that define things in a way that helps people use it immediately. And then those who use it very, very well, it's virtually art, but great point. You're right.
Okay. So what are our leaving an effective voicemail guidelines?
Okay. So leave it to us to have 9 bullets for voicemail, 5 introductory points, and then 4 components to our recommended voicemail. And actually, once you go through the 5 introductory points, the components are pretty easy. The 5 introductory points are, let's review the purpose of voicemail, which is an interesting one for a lot of people, I think.
Number to leave a message, dude.
Yeah. Move the conversation forward. It's my personal favorite. I believe if everyone just heard introductory point B, which is move the conversation forward, we'd be well forward. C, content is professional. D, tone is pleasant. E, duration is brief. For Mike and I, that would be 3 seconds, please. And then when it comes to components, it's very simple. Whenever you leave a voicemail, it has 4 components: their name, your message, and your phone number.
Cool. Okay, let's walk through them. First introductory point, the purpose of voicemail. Seems pretty easy, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Before we get into the present purpose, what we recommend is the present purpose of voicemail. We have a couple of caveats that we want to share just real briefly. The first is something we know several people have written to us, and we knew it, but it's helpful to hear yet again. In some countries, in some regions of the world, voicemail just isn't used as much as it's used in the U.S. or as much as it's used in parts of Europe. I think India is a great example of this. Voicemail is just not widely used. And really, to be fair, probably it's better to say that it's disliked. people are just kind of surprised, I think, to get voicemails. Now, I think the adoption of SMS, text messages and short messages and so on in parts of Europe and India is related to this. When you compare how quickly they took that popular technology as opposed to the U.S.'s slower uptake. I think there are plenty of people in the U.S. who said, look, I got email, I got voicemail. What do I need a short message service for? Text messaging. That is to say, that was a few years ago. We're not suggesting that text messaging is not huge in the U.S. as well, thanks to overseas folks who showed us the way. But our point here is that we hope those of you who don't use voicemail regularly will tolerate this cast.
Yeah. Although one way to look at it is to suggest that those whose professional culture doesn't use voicemail like as much as we do in the U.S., it'd be smart to know how the U.S. culture operates, as surely as the internationalization of management and companies continues.
You're right. Thank you. Great point. I think that, well, my personal belief is that management is going to become, there will become a language of management. It may not be English. I think for the next 50 years, it probably will be. But in much the same way that air traffic control and pilots and air traffic controllers use English as the standard language, I think there will be a standard language of management. And for a while, it will be the American standard. I think more folks are moving in the American direction, not because Americans are better managers, simply because American companies, I think in part because of the fundamental setup of of the kind of capitalism we have, which has its good points and bad points, just like every other system, has had a head start. I think there are a lot of folks catching up. And I think at various times, various countries and regions have passed the U.S. Think Japan. Think the European community, which has been incredibly valuable to Europe in so many ways. But I think we're all moving toward a connected common framework. And it's not because America is better. It's because people are people. And with respect to the subtlety, different cultures and so on, management, if you have a vertical structure, if you have job responsibilities, if you're tied together by the economics of work for salary or even work for hire, when you put a human being in those situations, even with respect to cultures, you're going to get a common set of behaviors, a common set of reference points, and there will be a common set of managerial activities or behaviors that are most likely to be effective. And to say that, well, we do it differently over here because of X or Y or Z, it is certainly one way to approach it. But I think sooner or later, there's going to be some commonality. For all the comments about diversity and internationalization and so on, that there is a move toward, if you will, a singularity regarding corporate or organizational behavior that I think we're able to be totally respectful to diversity of cultures and backgrounds, while at the same time addressing that in a vertical organization, an economic organization, a capitalistic organization, you're going to get a standard set of behaviors. And that was a very long tangent, for which I apologize.
Okay, and then I'll just do the show notes thing. Say, yeah, and that brings us to our second caveat regarding the real purpose of email.
Yeah, so
I'm not sure how it did, but
no, it's very well said, sir. Look, the real purpose of voicemail was to eliminate the cost of secretaries. If you didn't know that, folks, if you grew up before there, after voicemail was invented, happens to a lot of you, I know, it was a cost reduction device. I use that word secretary purposefully, because this was back when admins were called secretaries. There were secretary schools in virtually every major city and many minor cities as well. Look, if you want to think about how different the world was back then, just imagine every manager you know today having a secretary. It was nearly like that back before voicemail. Voicemail was invented to save money. The purpose of voicemail was economic. And believe it or not, there were some aspects of voicemail. Listen carefully to this, all you technology folks who don't like voicemail. Some aspects of voicemail were invented to mimic email. Now, we say all that to say in just a moment, when we share our actual purpose of voicemail, we know it's not the original purpose. We know that. The original purpose of voicemail was to save money. You're welcome to write us an email and tell us that if you like, and we know it. So we're not suggesting that voicemail was invented for what we're about to suggest. We're saying it's a tool that exists today in the workplace. And the question now is, what might be the best use or purpose of that tool?
Okay. So what is our definition of the use of voicemail right now?
It's simple. We look at it as a manager tool, and we ask what it's best suited for, and it's quite simple. Here's a profound note for you. The purpose of voicemail is to allow asynchronous voice communications.
Exactly. Just like email.
Yep. Just like email. Asynchronous communication. This just happens to be voice versus data. Both very well suited to the professional worlds we're all living in. Lean, fast, always busy, always in meetings. Rarely at our desks, or for that matter, if we're in a meeting, rarely if we're a professional able to answer the phone.
A lot of people will probably think that point is pretty obvious and silly, but when you think of it that way, it really becomes obvious why our second introductory point is what it is, which is move the conversation forward.
Yeah, look, yeah, people might think it's obvious, or, you know, they make sense to them, but they sure don't behave like that's the reason for it.
Yeah, exactly.
When I first was thinking about this, how can I communicate this? This was years ago, talking to executives about, and young managers, you know, how can I make you more effective? And then I listened to some of their voicemails. I'm like, geez, what, you know, what rock did you crawl out from underneath? I realized that describing the purpose for some people helped them get it. But they didn't, many of them didn't realize what therefore the next step must be, which is if it is asynchronous, if every single time you're in a conversation with someone, if you pay attention to this, you'll notice something. When you're in a synchronous, a normal conversation with someone where you're face to face, or for that matter, you're on the phone, but face to face is even better. When you're talking, one of the core issues that happens in a conversation with intelligent people, professionals, is that the conversation moves forward every time someone speaks. There is a shared purpose in getting to a conclusion. The conclusion may just be shared bonding over the weekend or whatever, but the conversation moves forward. You actually can tell when people are not good conversationalists, when they don't move the conversation along, move the conversation forward along with you when you're talking to them. They feel like it's always, you feel like it's always dead ends, like you just can never, you never feel like you know where you're going. And that's because people aren't moving the conversation forward. They're not holding up their end of the conversation as etiquette people want to tell us. See, we all have a responsibility in polite conversation, in professional conversation, which by the definition inherent in the word professional is the word polite, regardless of what some of the high D's who are listening think. It's inherent in there to move the conversation forward.
Yeah, that makes me think that there's probably some core nugget here that we have not described, or I'll describe this particular point in a different way, which is voicemail is a conversation.
Oh, it's a, you know what? You're absolutely right. It is simply an elongated one, an attenuated one, if you will, by time. It's attenuated by time, and you can make it a conversation. And I do this all the time with people. They ask me a question. I give them an answer that causes another question. They give me an answer and causes a question. And over the course of 4 or 5 days, rather than having, oh my gosh, we're in voicemail hell, or, you know, we're playing phone tag, we're never going to get it there, I say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not saying tag, you're it anymore. I said this a number of years ago. I'd say, you know, stop. Say something, move the conversation forward. And you're right, it is a conversation. Great point. And look, when we make the point about email, is it being similar to email in that it's asynchronous? Think about this, folks. For all those of you who would not think twice about leaving a voicemail which says, hey, Mark, this is Robert, please call me, or hey, got your message, give me a call. What is the likelihood of you sending an email which said, hey, got your email, please email me?
Well, when you put it that way, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah. Right. And so if people do this, I honestly believe actually it's a function of people's the gradual attenuation of attention, which has been written about. I don't know that it's written about with quite that phrase. I ought to trademark that phrase. But people have talked about the inevitability of this. It's not inevitable. It's simply people working to the lowest common denominator. I think particularly younger people just say, oh, just call me back. And there's a feeling that if I don't get to talk to you when I want to talk to you, then I don't want to talk to you. Which is absolutely, it contravenes the whole point of a conversation, to your point, or for that matter, respect for the other person. The idea that because I don't want to talk to you because you can't talk to me, or I can't move the conversation forward, is a very selfish point of view. But it is. I'll tell you why messages like those are so completely unprofessional. I said this to somebody, it's been a couple of years ago, and they looked at me like I had hit them with a bat. There's the bat comment for you. Comments like that, that say, hey, this is, I got your message, please call me, or Mark, this is Robert, please call me. Messages like that create an obligation for the recipient without an appropriate understanding. You are asking me to do something without any clue as to the what or the why or context, and it is simply impolite and therefore unprofessional. Sure, if you're the boss, you can get away with it, but all you're doing is relying on your role power. And quite frankly, I find that when you do maps of voicemails, you find that a great many people don't get voicemails from their boss or don't leave voicemails from the boss. They want face-to-face time, or they feel like they would prefer to get everything down on an email. But the reason messages like those are unprofessional is because they create an obligation without an appropriate understanding, which is not a professional way to do it.
Yeah. Creates an obligation without appropriate understanding. I totally love that. What about phone tag? It happens when I'm trying to get you and you're trying to get me, and then we just don't connect. It's asynchronous, but there's not a lot of communication there.
I say that's just both parties not keeping to our recommendation to move the conversation forward. It's like the example I gave you. You could suggest a time. You could tell your side of the story. You could put three questions to the other party. You could answer any likely concerns. You could say, here's my recommendation. We haven't been able to talk. Here's my recommendation. And I'll tell you, I think this is a function of people not willing to share their side of the story. I think if there's a potential for conflict, if there's a potential for disagreement, people say, oh, well, I don't want to throw my side out there. And I think if you believe the purpose of voicemail and the related issue regarding moving the conversation forward, if you believe it is a conversation that is asynchronous and your job is to move the conversation forward, you get out of that almost immediately, regardless of whether or not there's a potential for a slight misunderstanding because you have to caveat something you were going to say that would normally happen naturally in the form of a conversation, a real-time synchronous conversation. So in much the same way, I think that if you think about moving the conversation forward, voicemail goes away. Or I'm sorry, voice tag, phone tag goes away.
Yeah, just like email.
Yeah, exactly. Just like an email. And how many times have you and I, in the course of a day, exchanged 50 emails just about one topic back and forth while having other emails about other topics as well? And we know that that thread is about X and we're constantly batting it back and forth. What about this? What about that? What about such and such? You're on the phone. I'm on the phone during the day and we don't have time to talk synchronously. And we use email to move it forward. And then there are so many people who would try to do that on voicemail and just get frustrated that they were playing phone tag. So look, when you get voicemail, we recommend moving the conversation forward however you can. If you doubt us, if you don't agree with this, remember that we recommend leaving voicemails with offers of employment for telling somebody they're not going to be offered. We totally put our money where our mouth is here. We're not saying this is the ideal, but it's really not likely to happen. We're doing this now. We recommend this all the time. Move the conversation forward. Yeah, okay. There are some situations where one would not leave a voicemail, but frankly, then there are plenty of situations where one would not send an email either. Our recommendation here is that for 99% of voicemail users and situations in the world, if everyone used this guidance about moving the conversation forward, voicemail would be a much more effective tool for all of us, and people wouldn't be bailing out of it because of, I don't want to get into voicemail or hell or phone tag or what have you.
Yep. Okay. Our next introductory point is content is professional.
Yeah, pretty obvious and pretty simple. You think, well, when you come to work, surely you assume professional, right? But let me just make a point here real quick before I go any further that these next three points, content is professional, tone is pleasant, duration is brief, are specific to the details of the messages we leave. When we move the conversation forward, here are our guidelines for an overall approach. Our first two points about moving the conversation forward and the purpose were really kind of background, if you will. Maybe we should add background and then guidance and then recommendation. I don't know. But when we say content is professional, we're essentially trying to exclude everything that is not professional. And for me, the simplest way to think about that is that if your voicemail message were played over a loudspeaker, the only visible emotion anyone listening would show is a small smile.
Yeah, folks, voicemail is just like email. It is forever. Voicemails get forwarded and saved and recorded elsewhere, believe it or not.
Tell me, how many times, let's just say in a year, at MCI that you had a situation where somebody left you a voicemail and you forwarded to somebody else with a thing, say, listen to this.
Oh, some of the voicemails I heard even before then, I was at, this was when I was at Mobil Oil. There was a voicemail that was sent from one of our customers, the owner of a gas station, to the rep of that particular region. And this thing it must've been forwarded to everybody in the company. I can't imagine everybody in the company didn't hear this particular voicemail. Yeah, and Mobil Oil was a pretty big company.
Yeah,
so this stuff happens all the time. I mean, there are websites that have this stuff, right? Where they have all these hilarious, stupid embarrassing voicemails that have been left. So they've decided to catalog them for the, you know, for the rest of history.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to me how silly people are thinking that they are leaving a private message when they also know that there are tools to allow voicemails to be forwarded all over the place. Don't be one of them.
I mean, really, it's stored on a server somewhere, just like email is stored, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's ones and zeros. It just happens to represent a voice rather than actual text in HTML or plain text or whatever. But it's just sitting on a server somewhere, all of which is a physical representation that if we need to say it, let me just say it. It can be subpoenaed.
Right. It's on a server. It's on a website. It's, you know, look at it. It's on your iPhone now, right? I mean, that you're not, you're no longer dialing in to get your voicemail. It's right there on the phone.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. As we often mention, a way to think about this is mentioned in the United States, behave as if whatever you do could end up on the front page of the New York Times. So what this means when we say content is professional, keep your message to work and publicly appropriate personal comments, family, friends, health. Not talking lack of health, but I'm talking about inquiring about someone's health as a matter of polite conversation rather than sharing health concerns on voicemail. I'm amazed that when I say health, people think, oh, I can share something about my recent operation. No, you may not. Health, public hobbies, not private hobbies, public hobbies. Okay. The corporate world, the professional world has absolutely no problem with people's personal lives or for that matter, people's private lives. That's a wonderful thing about being human is private lives. And we don't talk about them. stay away from salacious notes. And as I already made clear, private notes, private voicemails. Private voicemail. It's like, what is that? It's like jumbo shrimp, right? It's an oxymoron.
Right.
If the context of your voicemail would ever have to be explained, you're leaving the wrong message. And then let me make a comment here about our younger listeners. The voicemails that you leave your friends on your cell phones are the worst possible training for work voicemail you can possibly have. I am routinely appalled by them. I don't want to be biased here. I'm not. I have... my daughter is, in college and my son is in college. And I certainly respect the fact that you're not in a place of business and that's fine. But I'm shocked by what I get from younger people who are Manager Tools listeners who, get my voicemail. You may think to yourself, I already know how to use voicemail because you've been using it since you were 10 years old. And I think that's wonderful. But in my experience, you do not. You leave the dreaded call me message all the time, which, by the way, I don't listen to or I don't act on. You're not clear. You call from the wrong places so I can't hear you, or worse, I can hear where you are, which I don't care to do. It is simply not professional. If you have to yell where you are, it's not professional. And that includes being on the side of the road unless you're broken down. Please think twice about not changing your mindset when leaving a message for your boss or a professional associate after you have left a message for three or four of your friends in a row.
God, this is the first time in a long time I've been happy that I'm over 30 years old.
Yeah. And look, young people are fabulous. We're thrilled that there's a fresh new ideas and so on. And if you want to be taken seriously early in your career, you will leave voicemails the way 30 plus, 40 plus year old professionals in your firm do. You will stay professional. You will stay above the fray. You will talk about work. You will do it in a, as we were about to say, pleasant tone and brief and so on.
Well, it hurts, but I absolutely agree. So yeah. You mentioned it. Let's talk about our next point, which is tone is pleasant.
Yeah. I sometimes have to be more clear than my first thought is to leave this out simply because, well, if you're professional, then of course you have a pleasant tone. So it reasonably follows from the professional comment that because all professional communication is pleasant, and yet it doesn't hurt to be specific here. The analogy I have for voicemail in order to help people understand it is not private. It is not just two people, is if you were speaking with someone in the hallway of your office with people walking by every 10 seconds, you would have what I would describe as a pleasant tone. By pleasant, we mean respectful volume, and volume means respectful volume means no yelling or no whispering. If you leave on a voicemail, you're not going to believe this. That is not a professional voicemail. There should be no anger in your voice, no intent in your message to create anger or fear, and no intent to engender whispering or yelling in return.
Right.
If you can't be sure of that, don't start speaking. Hang up and think and then deliver. And if you say to yourself, well, gee, I don't have time for that, then that implies that you have mistakenly put time in front of effectiveness, and you're trying to be efficient rather than effective. And the efficient people in organizations tend not to be leaders or managers. Managers and leaders are effective, and they know that for 10 seconds, a career can be lost.
And if you can't figure out how to get your message across without causing those things, then just don't leave it.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you at that point, you become the problem.
Yeah, you're the one that starts it. Exactly, yeah. Again, assume that voicemail is going to be played out loud for someone else. Assume your mother is listening. Worse, assume my mother is listening. Put a smile in your voice. When I teach communications face-to-face, we actually have ways of helping people hear and feel a smile in their voice. Can't do that really in this podcast, although there'll be a future podcast surely about that very thing, about how to train people to do that.
Cool. Okay, our next one. Duration is brief. I love this one.
Yeah. 3 minutes is the longest any voicemail should ever be, and that includes all four components we're talking about here.
Yeah, at least in part, we're trying to help avoid the fact that so many folks don't listen to the entire message that others leave. I know somebody like that.
I didn't have anybody in mind when I thought about that.
No, not at all. Yeah, I didn't. It's not like I didn't pick up on that immediately.
Well, you were the guy that taught me that it is folly to ask someone else, particularly a high D, a successful manager or leader, often is the case. It's folly to say, did you get my voicemail? Because, of course, the answer is, thanks to technology, yes, I got it. The real question is, did you listen to all of my voicemail? Yeah, that's the intent of the question, did you get it? But it's not. It allows person the ultimate out, because getting it and listening to all of it are two very different things.
it's funny. And that's just, we'll take a personal sidetrack down the road here, which is I found I get so many poor voicemails, and so many that are so long and say nothing, that I've got to adjust my behavior a little bit, at least when it comes to you, because you know how to leave voicemails. But I have a hard time listening to them. I need to change my behavior. I just assume every voicemail I get doesn't say anything. And that's just a statement on the sad state of voicemail today.
Okay, you've got to tell the story though here, right? You've got to tell the story about your direct. Or your skip. Was it your direct or your skip?
He was a direct. He was an individual contributor, but he's a direct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Please tell that story.
Okay. I'll try to make it brief since we're talking about brevity here. But I had this gentleman working for me who was absolutely brilliant. If for those of you know the disc, he was off the chart C, like details. And so he would leave me every day. We had this particular project going on. And this project went on for 6 months. So this is every day for 6 months. He would give me a status report, just a brief update. What I asked for was a brief update of the status of this particular project. And he left me, I kid you not, it was a 15-minute voicemail every morning. And I did this for like 2 weeks listening to it. Now, the fact of the matter is I never listened to it. I got 1 minute into it and I deleted it. Now,
exactly.
The sad state at this point, this is a decade and a half ago, I didn't tell him that I was deleting it until finally, 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I gave him some feedback, said, dude, when you leave me 15-minute voicemail messages, I listen to 30 seconds and then I delete it. I said, so why don't you just do this? Give me an executive update. You got 30 seconds. You got boiled all down to 30 seconds. And then if you want, leave all the details. And if I have time, I'll get to it. Of course, I never had time. But to his credit, every day from that point forward. My executive update, boom, 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 30 seconds, and then I could delete and go on. I don't know what you wanted to get out of that message, but for me, it was make clear what your voicemail standards are. Tell your people, because they've never been told before, tell them how you want them to use voicemail. And guess what? They'll do it.
Yep. Yeah. And we talk about this in terms of becoming a new boss, about being clear about your communication style. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, a couple of years ago, maybe it wasn't that long ago, we did a cast on boss relationships, and not about managing your boss, but we talk about that. I talk about that pretty regularly with clients about, the idea that you need to understand what your boss's communication style is. And often we say, and if you have directs of your own, please, please, please make it easier on your directs by telling them what kind of style you have when it comes to voicemail and email and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah. To me, the great thing about that story, of course, is that he adapted based on what you needed, because he now was communicating in a way that made sense to you.
Yeah.
What is interesting, again, is in a different way, the email, the voicemail that's 15 minutes long, again, creates an obligation, right? It does.
Yeah, it does. And, absolutely. Oh, and, I got angry.
Quite frankly, 3 minutes is very, very long from a voicemail. You had better, if you're doing a 3-minute voicemail, be moving that conversation forward significantly. If you pay attention to your normal day-to-day conversations, folks, conversations, you'll discover that someone speaking for 3 minutes is wildly long.
Oh, so you got it. Yeah.
So let's even be more clear.
But let me make one point, though. I just want to reiterate what you said and make this absolutely clear, is that leaving a voicemail, whether it's 5 seconds or 15 minutes, in my case, creates an obligation on the recipient. Folks feel an obligation to listen to it. And so when you leave a 15-minute voicemail, or a 3-minute voicemail for that is, you're dumping on that person.
Yep. Exactly. And if you don't have the organizational power to do that, you're going to create irritation. Or you're going to be put, it's likely the other person is going to be irritated. It's not your fault how they feel, but if you continue to do it, whether they're irritated or not, they're going to raise one eyebrow and say, how smart can this person be?
Yeah.
Let me go a step further, though. We said that 3 minutes is the longest any voicemail should ever be, because we get voicemails longer than that, okay? But yeah, quite frankly, the goal is 1 minute. 1 minute. Hey, Michael, this is Mark. I got the answer on this. It's this. I need to know this. If you could call me back and let me know what you think about this. And by the way, we're on track on this, and I'm way behind on this other thing, and I promise you an update by the end of the week. Just real quick, that's where I wanted to go. Hey, my number is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's, I don't know, that's probably 30 seconds or so. But the goal is 1 minute. If you need to leave a 3-minute voicemail, okay, fine. And I would guess, really, for some people, that would require an executive update in the beginning, unless you truly understand the other person, their natural style, you know them well, and you can get by with a 3-minute. But your goal should be 1 minute, and 3 minute is absolutely the upper limit.
Yeah, and 30 seconds is sweet, folks.
Yes.
Okay. So now is time to move on to our core message today, which is, what do we say in the message? So let's go over each of the four components. First one, their name.
Yeah, and I feel bad here. We sometimes get accused of taking too long to get to our core points, and I do think what we've shared so far is valuable. I don't think these 4 points, name, message, number, are quite enough, but nevertheless, we are here now. The first thing in every voicemail.
Right. As a matter of fact, our core point is really about voicemail being a conversation, right?
Exactly.
And this is really the icing on top of that, I think.
And all speaking in a conversation is designed to move the conversation forward. Exactly.
Yep.
But to help people think about a structure, because we really believe in meta communication and having structure to the things you do. Just like when you get taught sales almost anywhere, there is a structure. When you get in front of a group to present something, there is a structure that works. But the first thing in every voicemail is the person's name whose voicemail you've called. This is just a form of professional, personal, common courtesy. If you wonder why we recommend this, because you're trying to save time, we understand that. Just say out loud any voicemail message without the receiving person's name at the beginning. And you'll find that in many, many cases, it doesn't work. First name alone is fine, though certainly we do respect that in some countries, speaking up the chain of command would require some more formality. I know that's perfectly reasonable, but you do not start with data. You do not start with your name. So in the U.S. and many other places, the first word out of your mouth should be the first name of the recipient.
And of course you could say hi, right? Hi, John.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Sure. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
Okay. Next one is.
But let me just be clear. Hi is fine. Hi, Bob. But hey, look, I'm just calling to leave you a message about X, Bob. Start with their name. Other than maybe a one word greeting. Hi, Bob. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mark. Other than that, I'm calling to leave you a message about X. Mark is not as effective as the name first.
Okay. Next is your name.
This is the most violated of the four tenets that we recommend, the four components. Quote, they know my voice, unquote, is the silliest thing I've ever heard when it comes to leaving messages. It doesn't matter whether you think they know your voice or if they even do know your voice. It is helpful to the listener. And remember, communication is what the listener does, and we should be communicating in ways that help them. It's not about you. It is helpful to the listener to not have to think about anything but the content of the message. So much of our communications are nonverbal and actually visual. And rather than making the other person think, just tell them your name so they can picture your face and know what kinds of tone and pace you normally have. This is just like in an interview answer. The first sentence should answer the question. And in a conversation, we would normally have your face to know, okay, that person's face is associated with some behaviors that are helpful to us in terms of communicating with you. So you give them your name so they can paint your face. It will totally increase their understanding of your message. Leaving your name out is just a convenience for you, or worse, a power move for you. Well, they should know who I am. Putting your name in there after you say their name, hey, Bob, hey, Mike, this is Mark, is for them. And look, I'm going to be a little bit blunt here, but there are a lot of people talk to that know many, many more people than just them. And I assure you, if you leave me a voicemail, I may know your voice, but I know 7,000 other voices too. So listen carefully. For all but the 10 closest friends and associates you have, leaving your name means leaving your last name too.
That might catch some people, but I agree. First, they leave off their last name, and then they think they've spoken to you a few times, and they don't leave a name, and then I don't know who I'm listening to, and then I have to listen twice. And,
I've got 75 voicemails to go through sometimes when I get off a plane, and I'm like, I'm 1 minute into a 2-minute answer. I go, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. He's calling about this issue. And then what happens? I have to go back and listen twice, just like you say. I don't listen twice. If I have to listen twice, I'm not going there.
Yeah. I know somebody else who has that same rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their name, your name. Third point, your message. What about that?
Right. There are too many possibilities to cover all of the possible messages people could leave without having 100 rules. And while that's probably possible for us, it's not likely. We recommend that folks keep in mind the two rules we've already mentioned. The time goal is no longer than 3 minutes, and really the goal is actually 1 minute is a better goal to shoot for. The upper limit is 3 minutes, and the content goal is to move the conversation forward. Answer the question put to you. If it requires more than 3 minutes, summarize your answer and tell them you'll send an email with more details. If you want answers, name the questions. If you want to approve something but have questions, state that you intend to approve but would like your questions answered in a return voicemail or email. And this is just like email.
Yeah, another way to think about this is bluff, right? Bottom line up front.
Yeah, exactly.
Just because you don't get the other person doesn't mean you bail and leave nothing of value. Hey, like call me.
Right.
For all everyone says about moving things fast, we sure aren't helping ourselves by delaying our own communications.
Yeah. Unless you're calling your competitors and they're waiting on you for something. And so you're going to slow them down by saying, hey, call me. I've got the information.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, call me. I've got the information is just one of the most selfish, narcissistic things you can possibly say. It really is all about me. Even when I'm talking to you, I don't really listening or thinking about you. I'm talking to you. It's along the lines of enough about me. What do you think about me?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. And then our fourth point, your number.
Every voicemail. Leave your phone number. I don't recommend leaving every possible phone number. There are times when you leave work and sell, and that's certainly fine. But every single voicemail, leave your number. Okay? Not your spouse. Fine. Okay? But we start with the primary rule, and then we make rare exceptions. What most people are doing today is their rule is, I don't leave my number because, oh, they've got caller ID. As if everywhere you have caller ID, it works all the time, or it's all digital all the time. Well, okay, if you're two people in a large city, maybe so, but there are plenty of places where work is done. In fact, somebody joked with me recently, well, gosh, where are people working where there's not great cell coverage with caller ID? I said, on the oil rigs that produce the oil that you use to heat your house, on the pipelines that ship that oil to you. It's amazing how much stuff happens away from 100% pure digital communication all the time. Yeah, in 10 years, maybe that'll change. But it's entirely possible that somebody got a message and they don't have your number. Or worse, you make them look it up if they don't know it. It just seems crazy to me. So no matter what, every time you leave a voicemail, except for a rare exception, we said 10 of your closest friends and associates, if that's that would be the upper limit for me, the people who you would not leave your number for. And I know people disagree with me, but we're creating a standard, and then we're allowing, you know, we're suggesting that there's some flexibility, but not as much as people think. Everybody else is doing their standard is our flexibility.
Yeah. Well, folks, you know, not everybody is memorizing your number. So, you know, even if it's in the top 10 or 20, say you're working, the 20 people you talk to all the time, they don't necessarily have your number memorized. Now they got to go look it up in the corporate directory. Not hard, but again, it's all about showing some courtesy about
putting. Yes, it's about the other person. Which is interesting. You know what's funny? People say, "Well, they've got my number in their cell phone." Yes, and they're at their desk, and they're not allowed to use their cell phone at their desk, or they have lousy reception at their desk. You leave your number so that they can call you as a matter of convenience for them. Now, let's go back to leaving your number twice. I generally don't agree with that because I believe the reason it was created was in order to get people to make sure they hear it because people talk fast. And I think the answer ought to be to talk slowly. So I don't recommend leaving a number twice. I'm not against it. If you want to, that's fine. But if you're just leaving your number twice by saying 830-923-1174, again, that's 830-923-1174, sorry, you're not helping. It's far more effective to take a mental breath. And when you say, my number is, in fact, hear that, folks, my number is, and you can hear me slow down. And people ask me all the time, how is it you remember to slow down? I said, well, I don't know. How do I remember to put shoes on in the morning? I've done it a few hundred times and I've gotten into the habit of doing it. And so I do it. I slow down. People say, how do you remember names and numbers? How do you remember names so well? Actually, I don't think I'm that much better with people's names, but I work at it. You know, if you want a magic trick for everything, become a magician, because there are some things that there aren't magic tricks for. The key to giving your number is to slow down. For me, I call it taking a mental breath. My number is, and then I pause briefly. And you should talk slowly. If you say, please call me 830-992-3174, you're essentially ambushing people by not starting with my number is. My number is says, pick up a pen. If you just say, hey, call me 830. Again, that is, you're jumping on people. You're essentially ambushing them. Don't do that. The way you give your number is at the end of the message. It's the fourth component. And you say, my number is, You slow down when you do it, and you can practice that if you want, and then say the number. You don't have to pause for one beat between every number, between every digit or every numeral. And you don't have to say it twice, particularly if you're just saying it fast, which doesn't do any good. I actually find that, to me, in my gut, I have no proof for this at all. My gut tells me that saying the number twice just increases the number of numbers that people hear and is not as effective. I could be totally wrong about that. That's why I recommend say it once and say my number is, so that people know if they're going to write it down, that's when they're going to do it.
That's it.
Yep. So we had 5 introductory points. We got the purpose of voicemail with our caveats. We have the fundamental principle that we want to get across, which is move the conversation forward, folks. And then, of course, we've got taunt, content, professional, tone, pleasant, duration, brief, goal is 1 minute, tolerance is 3. And then the 4 components, which is their name, your message, and your number.
And excellent.
Pretty straightforward.
All right, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
See you later. Well, folks, that's it. Thanks for listening. Hey, if you're one of our European listeners and you haven't yet signed up for our Manager Tools Effective Manager Conference on January 29th and 30th, 2008 in Amsterdam, we hope we'll get a chance to meet you there. You'll find more details at the website, www.manager-tools.com. So with that, we'll see you all again next week. So long, folks.